So I brought my family with me. Some of my family. Some of my family is still there. It dotted around, but this is my family. We're in Fradley. I just need to say that we bonded over Zoom. Never met all of you, actually, until after lockdown. So it just shows what God can do. You know, if you're in a life group, don't hold back and think that we can't connect with people. Don't really like Zoom, but we found our family through Zoom. So I've got Ollie here. Ollie, you can introduce yourself. Hello. But Ollie's going to talk to us about his life. So, we practiced. So, Ollie, tell us about your faith journey. When did you come to Christ and how did you come about it?
Yeah, so I came to Christ, I was saved about 4 years ago now. Some people have this big revelation, it's a big thing. Mine was very much a slow burn. My now fiance, I just started going along to church with her because it was an excuse to hang out with her, won't lie. And then slowly and surely I started listening into the churches, and then I went on a weekend away with them and came to Christ there. So yeah, it wasn't a big reveal kind of thing. It was very much a slow burn.
So had you heard about Jesus before? Had you heard about salvation?
Yeah, so when I was younger, I went to a Church of England church, kind of drifted away in my teenage years, met Evie, my fiancé, and then started going back to church with her just because I was a little bit interested. I'm an inquisitive person, so yeah.
So what would you say was your biggest revelation once you made that step to say yes to Jesus?
How tough prayer is. Right. when you're a child, you have your morning prayers and you just say them and they become, you don't really understand them fully, ever since becoming a Christian, you suddenly realize, there's a lot you can pray for. What do I pray for? Am I getting the balance right, So I found that, especially during when I first became a Christian, I found myself praying more for forgiveness and guidance rather than thanking and praising God for everything he's done for me, which is something I still need to do more, I won't lie. But yeah, I find it difficult finding the right balance between those prayers, yeah.
So we were talking about this earlier and we were saying it's very easy to make, not very easy, but sometimes it's easy to make that decision, but to get plugged in, jump in and be in a community, what made you move from just, yes, Jesus?
Yeah, so I was just attending a normal church service and it was talking about serving and stuff like that, and it suddenly dawned on me that actually if I want to grow as a Christian, I also need to, invest in the church that I'm in. And so whether that's by serving elsewhere or doing these talks, it's a great way to develop your faith because, I've gone into the scriptures, I've actually read through it, I'm not just receiving, I'm now giving, which is a very different thing to just sitting in the crowd, in the congregation, just listening. Yeah.
And this question you really hated, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
I do.
What would you say is your life verse? And I mean, I think for me as well, I'm not saying there's only one, isn't it? It just depends on the season.
Yeah.
So what's the flavor of the season in terms of verses for you?
So obviously, we've all been through a pandemic. I'm not sure if you noticed. I found myself going to James a lot during that book. During that time. Especially chapter 1, verses 2 and 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I found that very supportive during COVID, because it was a massive trial, and there are trials of all kinds, but that one was a particularly large trial that we had to overcome.
So what would you be your encouraging line? your elevator pitch for the church in terms of...
Stick with it. You know, life throws everything at you. You know, when I first became a Christian, I had this naive thought that things would be simpler. And it was. You know, my mind was a lot clearer. But then there were other challenges that I had to overcome and other trials I had to face. But every trial I have faced, I can definitely say my faith has grown since then. And it will continue to grow because there will be more trials.
Love it. We could talk forever, me and you, Ollie. Yeah, we need to give Mark. Mark's got a word. Sure. I keep putting pressure on Mark. Thank you, Ollie. Thank you.
I mean, you can keep talking if you want, Ollie. I don't mind. It's fine with me.
Every time I saw Mark, I said, you bring a word of the Lord. And then you put pressure, Leah.
No pressure there. I am Mark. So I was thinking over the last couple of weeks what to try and bring, what to try and share. And I had an idea come into my head. And it's something that every single person in this room will have had at some point in their life. And it's the idea of having a childlike heart. So assume you were all children at one point in your life, and perhaps still are. You'll have all have had that at some point. There's a Bible verse that came to mind as well. Jesus says in Matthew 18, verse 3, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Although I don't have kids, I work with kids a lot, and so I see various different behaviours of kids, and I'm sure many of the people in the room have kids themselves. It always amazes me how children, particularly young children, they always know where to go to get what they need. You know, if they're hungry, like I was frequently as a child, just because I liked food, not because my mum didn't feed me, they'd always know to go to parents, like to go where to go, where to get food. You know, if a child falls over, they run straight to mum or dad or whoever it is, and there's an expectation that they have. They assume they will be loved, they will be cared for, they will be provided for. They don't question what mood they're in. They don't question whether or not they're feeling up for it. They don't go, "Mummy, if it's okay with you, would it possibly be okay if I have a drink, please?" Has anyone got a child like that? I don't imagine anyone does. I feel like normally it's more like, "Mummy, I want a drink." So I'm assuming that's more like what it is. But you know, our Father in heaven, he's always in the mood. He's always ready to give.
Yeah, so good.
So yeah, he's always wanting to give good things to us. There's another verse that came to mind from Matthew 7, verses 9. And it goes, "Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If then you, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" You know, we have a good God. He likes to give good things to us. He might say, "Yes, but not yet. You know, it's not dinner time yet. It's coming. It's on the way." He might say, "I could give you this, but I happen to know it's not the right thing for you." But he always wants to give us good things. He's always willing to give good things. And it's always, I think it's always good to come with that kind of expectation that God wants to give us good things. They're not just there out of reach, that he actually wants to give them to us. So my question to you guys is, you know, how expectant are we of God? Do we come before God expectant and kind of ready to receive from him? Slight confession, I don't remember every single bit of every preach that I have ever heard. I remember some bits. No offense, Steve. I'm sorry. It's nothing personal. Certainly kind of weeks, months, years afterwards, I don't remember all of them. But every now and again, there's a line or a section that just sticks to me, and that kind of sits and always comes back to mind all the time. And one of them is something that a friend of mine, when I was in uni a few years ago, I went to university in Stoke, and a friend of mine was preaching at church one morning. And he opened his preach with a challenge to the congregation. And he challenged everyone, and he said, "Do we come into church expectant to meet with God? Do we come into church with the mindset that I'm coming into church, I'm going to meet with God, and I'm going to go out of the doors a different person than I was when I came in?" It might not be a big change. It's not necessarily talking about, you know, life transformed every single Sunday, even if it's just a small growth in something, learning something new about God, or growing in a certain area, or getting a word of wisdom into something that's happening in life. Do we come into the church building expectant to hear what he has to say? When it gets to the preach, do we sit there and are we eagerly ready to hear what the words are that are being said. For 20 minutes, however long it is, do we set ourselves that time in our mind and say, right, this is the time that we're gonna, I'm going to focus because I know what's going to be said is able to benefit me? I know quite often I'm not always that focused. If you're sitting there going, yeah, I try and come in with that mindset, then cool, keep doing it. If perhaps like me, you don't always think that, then that's okay. I know for me personally, quite often I do think that, but often it's under the surface. So deep down, I know, yeah, I come to church, God does things. But quite often I come in, I'm distracted by other things going on in life. I'll come in, look at watch, go, 5 to 10, you timed that very well, Mark. find somewhere to sit down, run through in my head what I'm getting from Tesco's after the service, that sort of thing, and then engage with whatever's going on. But I don't always come into the church building and go, okay, God, what have you got for me? What have you got for me this morning? Yeah. That's kind of my challenge to you guys is kind of, yeah, do you come into church expectant? Do you, when the worship starts, you go, right, here we go. Yeah. Do you have that mindset? So, yeah, that's
so
my
good,
challenge.
Mark. It's really good. Challenge me.
Good.
Yeah.
So that's the point.
And we've got Sean.
Hi, everyone. Doing pretty well, getting in at 5 to 10, Mark. I think that's pretty impressive. We're happy if we get here at 5 past 10. I'm Sean. I wanted to talk about last year when my friend went missing. My family and my friends and life group were a huge support in such an upsetting time. People from across the community and beyond came together to help find my friend. Church friends and my life group prayed for my friend and her safe return. And when she was found, they all rejoiced, genuine rejoiced, and continued to pray for her. It really brought it home to me just how important community is. But I have realised that the last 2 years have had an impact on my own part in church community. I have got out of the habit of coming to church and of meeting in person with my friends and fellow Christians. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 to 25, it says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So this letter was written almost 2,000 years ago, yet it could be written about this exact situation. It's a call to persevere in faith, nicely done from what Ollie was saying, in the face of adversity. And it stresses the importance of fellowship. I know that I would not be, I wrote stood, but I'm sat. I wouldn't be sat here, stood in front of you, as a Christian, were it not for the support and encouragement of my family, friends, and life group. I think most of you would agree that the development of your faith has, in some part, probably a big part, being down to the support and encouragement of other Christians, and I know that's true for me. They might even push you outside of your comfort zone and get you to talk in life group takeover. We're not supposed to do this alone. That's not what God intended for us. We are called to come together, to spur each other on, in this journey of faith, which is ultimately part of what Jesus commanded of us. Love one another as I have loved you. Thank you.
So good. So good. So good. Thank you, guys. Thank you. So we created a bit of space at the end with all the words that we've spoken as a life group. We just want to make sure that we create space for us to pray at the end. So do you want to come up? Thank you, guys. Thank you. So I think I asked Steve, I don't know if I did, but I just said that, you know, there'll be leaders around. If you want to pray for something, if you want prayer for something, then we're just hoping that this space that we've created, I don't know where they'll be, dotted around, you know? If you just grab somebody and say, I need some prayer, and they'll kind of lead you through. But for us, you know, sometimes when you think of our life is like a journey in a plane. If you get in a plane and you're going to a destination, you know you're buying a ticket because you're going to a destination. But normally, sometimes when you come to the landing, when you're coming, when you know the pilot will say, we're about to arrive, 5 minutes, and then suddenly that 5 minutes turns into 10, into 15, and it feels like you're going round in circles. And when you read about it, you find that there's a pattern in which the plane flies, and it's normally in an eight, you know, in a figure of an eight. I don't know why eight. But then the controller says this to the pilot. He says, maintain holding pattern until I tell you to land. Maintain holding pattern until I tell you to land. And I feel like God is saying to us this morning that there's some things we've been waiting for. You know, there's some things you've been praying for. We've been waiting for some breakthrough. But what God is saying to us in this space is maintain holding pattern until he tells you to land.